which is going to happen fully in heaven, when our glorified self is able to stand before the God of this universe, we'll be able to know him in a face-to-face way in heaven. But in the meantime, we can still grow in our relationship with him. Not as a means to the goal, but that is the goal, is to grow in our knowledge of Jesus, or in our knowledge of Jesus Christ and ultimately God the Father. So that's what this is all about. So we're spending this series talking about the things that we can do to grow in our relationship with him, to grow in our knowledge of him. There's activities that we can do, practices we can practice that will position us in a place to grow in our knowledge of God. They're often referred to as spiritual disciplines, the things that sometimes take effort, they take intentionality, but they're so worth it because they position us in a point to know God more. So we talked about spending time in solitude, getting away from all the inputs of the world, checking out of all of that, just spending time you and God alone, away from all those other things. We talked last week about Bible study and the importance of getting into his word and hearing from God through his word and learning about him in his book that he gave us. That this is about him, and the more we read this, the more we know God. So that's another discipline. Each week we've had homework assignments, so going home and doing these things. And I hope you guys did. Did you guys do the Bible study ones? I hope you did, because it was so, those passages were great, and they just painted such a great picture of God and who he is. And so, anyways, I hope you guys did that and found time to fit that in, that discipline. So this morning, as we're going to talk about another spiritual discipline, and it's one we've already done today. Today we're talking about prayer, about talking with God, about interacting with God personally, talking with him. That's all prayer is. It's just talking to God. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is knowing God through prayer. Because our central truth today talks about why this is so important. Our central truth today about prayer is this. Prayer is vital, crucial, critical. Prayer is vital in knowing God, because it is where my story intersects with him. Prayer is so important and critical in our knowledge of God, because that's at the point when prayer is the point where my path crosses with his path. See, as we learn about God, we kind of learn about a God that's distant, that's out there, that's I'm here, he's over there, and I'm learning about this other being, right? I'm learning about God. But when we pray, at that point, our paths, they intersect. Like, now that God that's out there is now involved right here. He's involved in my life. He's involved in the things that are happening. And if something changes when that happens, that our knowledge of God grows out of this book knowledge, scholarly knowledge, to a personal knowledge. When he's involved in our story, when he's involved in our life, when he's involved in these worries and concerns and the things that we carry, when he's involved in that, all of a sudden he becomes real in a whole new way, in a personal way. And that happens through prayer. Because prayer is, again, that point where we connect, where our lives intersect, and he's involved in what's happening in my life. And so prayer leads to growth in the knowledge of God. But there's a problem. And the problem is, we don't pray. We don't pray enough, right? Typically, our prayer life is this. This is our prayer life. And I'm not casting dispersions. This is me too. This is all of us. Typically, for us, prayer looks like this. When I am faced with something that I cannot handle, when there is something that is too big, when there's something that's out of my control, when I'm at my wit's end, there's no other solution, then I go to God in prayer. But along with that, what I'm really saying, all those things I don't pray about, all the times I don't pray, and all the things I just handle, when I don't pray, what I'm really telling God is, oh, I got this one. I can handle this. No problem. I can take care of this. And then we run into the big one, an illness or a job situation or relationship issue, something bigger that we just can't handle. Then we go to God in prayer. When we pray, it's an act of dependence, right? It's depending on God. And so because of that, when I pray, I'm depending on God. So I would argue that the biggest enemy of my prayer life, which is depending on God, is my independence. If prayer is depending on God and his actions, then my the enemy to that is my own self-sufficiency. Because, oh, I got this covered, therefore I don't need to pray for that. So the more I think of myself, and the more I've got things covered, and the more things I got things under control, the less I pray. The higher view I have of myself and my capabilities, the less I pray. You see all the opposites there? It's like a scale. I think of myself a lot. If I think I'm so great, I pray less. The less I think of myself and what I can handle, the more I pray. When I understand how limited I am, how little I can do, and how much God can do, humbling, right? But I pray more. Peter addresses that very issue when it comes to prayer in our passage this morning. This is what we're going to look at. So you got Bibles, open them up. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. 1 Peter is one of the last books of the Bible. It's a little teeny letter. There's 1 and 2 Peter. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Do that adjustment. We there, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. This is what it says. Humble yourselves. Hey, how about that, huh? Humble yourselves. He's just been talking about pride. These people are having pride issues. They're chesting up against each other. And he said, hold on. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now you might be thinking, Tom, you messed up. We're talking about prayer, and you found a passage that never once says the word pray. Is this cutting in and out? Should I go to that? Let me go to the other mic. Hang on. All right, better? Yeah. Different? All right. I'm going to miss the crackle. I'm going to have to everyone's. Tom, how could you pick a prayer passage that doesn't talk about prayer? This Bible is full of stuff, of passages about prayer, and you got some nerve finding a passage that doesn't actually say pray in it. But what this passage is talking about is what prayer is all about. It's what prayer is all about. Acknowledging, I can't do it. Humble yourselves. Acknowledging you can't do it and you need God. And then all those stresses, all those worries, all those anxieties, cast them on him. Throw them on him. Pull them off and just toss them away. Cast those anxieties on him because he cares for you. This is prayer. Humbling ourselves before God's mighty hand and then casting all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. That is what prayer is. And as we do this, we grow in the knowledge of God, that we can know God more. Specifically, from this passage, I see two things we learn about God. The more we pray, we learn these things about God. First one is this. It's from verse 6. The more we pray and the more we do this, the more we know God's power. We see God's power in a new way when we pray, when we humble ourselves and trust him. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. He could have chose all kinds of adjectives there, but it was God's mighty hand, under God's power, acknowledging the power of God. When you depend on him, when you trust him with this very these important things in your life, and you see him come through, it's a testimony to you of God's power, of his mighty hand. And you begin to know God's power in a whole new way when you see it in your life. It's one thing to hear someone else's story about what God did, but when it's your story,
God's power is on display to you in a personalized way. And you grow in your knowledge of God, specifically God's power, through prayer. This is like next level knowing. Not just knowing about, but knowing it. For me, I know of God's power when I see him come through. Not just God's power, but secondly, God's love. We learn about God's power through prayer. We also learn about God's love for us through prayer. It says, cast all your anxieties on him. Why? He cares for you. I mean, holy cow, what good would it be if he was just all powerful, but didn't get, you people, you're on your own. It's not just that he's all powerful, but he loves you. He loves me. Not because I'm so lovable or I'm so great. I mess up all the time. I messed up this morning. We all mess up. But God loves me because of his love. I learn about God's love through prayer. When I go to him with these anxieties, these concerns, these areas that I'm trusting him for, and I lay them at his feet, and I'm nervous about him, and I don't know what's going to happen, it's a big deal for me, and everyone else, they don't understand, but it's a big deal for me. I trust him with this thing, and then when he answers, the love of God, you feel it, right? And it's overwhelming to realize somehow, little me matters in all this to big you, little me matters. And we learn about God's love in a mighty, mighty powerful way, in a personalized way. So we grow in our knowledge of God. Remember, it's all about knowing God. To know his power and his love happens best through prayer. And this is important. This matters because the reason we don't pray, because we doubt God's power and we doubt God's love. The reason I don't pray about a certain situation could be, one, I think I can handle it. I doubt his power. I got enough power. I don't need that power. Or I think he's not really in control over that thing. The judge is in control of that thing. Or the boss is in control of that thing. Or whoever is in control of that thing. The landlord is in control of that thing. And we forget who's really in control. It's God. We forget about God's power. We don't pray because we think, oh, that's not really a God thing. This is a judge thing or a landlord thing or a boss thing or whatever thing. We doubt God's power. Maybe we believe in God's power and say, well, he's all powerful, I get that. But man, he's too busy for this. He doesn't really love me, and we doubt if he really wants what's best for me. Will he really step in? I doubt he even will, because he doesn't care. You know, it's just me, and it's my issue, and it's on me, and we don't pray about it. Because we doubt God's power, and we doubt God's love. Now, check this out. How cool is this? As we pray, we learn more about God's power and his love. And as we learn more about God's power and his love, we pray more. And as we pray more, we learn more about God's power and his love. And as we learn more about God's power and his love, we pray even more. And on and on and on. It's a cycle that the end result is we get to know God. Know what we need to do? We need to pray. Don, I don't feel like praying. I just can't even make myself do it. I know why. Because you doubt God's power and you doubt his love. You don't think it's really going to change anything. It's a spiritual discipline. Pray. Trust God. And then learn about his power and his love. And then next time it'll be easier to pray. And you'll do it again. And you'll remember how he came through. And it's going to be a testimony of God's power and his love. And then we pray again. And it's like a cycle. Like if you want to be a runner. You want to run a marathon. I can't run a marathon. You're right, you can't. But you can run a little bit. How do you build up the ability to run? By running. Yeah. Right? Same thing with prayer. I can't spend a day in prayer. I can't spend a commercial break in prayer. Okay, that's fine. Start praying. And as we pray, we grow in our ability to pray because we learn more about God's power and God's love, and that moves us to more and more prayer. So the discipline here is prayer, and the goal is that we would pray more and more and more, and ultimately we would grow to the point where we're praying about everything. That's what the Bible talks about praying continuously. Yeah. More and more prayer. More and more prayer. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. See, not just the bad stuff, not just the crazy out of control stuff, even the good stuff, the bad, the good, the in between, all of it. The goal is more and more and more prayer. Because as we pray, we grow in our knowledge of God, specifically his power and his love. Okay, so we want to pray more. I bet if I took a vote, we'd be hopefully unanimous. Yes, we need to pray more. I want to pray more. So the Bible, though, paints a very, which it points out some warning signs, some beware ahead when it comes to prayer. There's some things that'll bust up your prayer life, all right? So I want to point out these things real quick from the Bible about things that can bust up our prayer life. These are the prayer busters. Now, obviously, we already learned about pride, right? We don't need to talk about that. We already learned that pride prevents us from praying in the first place because I think I got this under control. I don't need God. So we need to humble ourselves, right? So we know that. So we've already talked about that one. So pride, obviously. So this is talking about when we actually go and do pray, the things that we do in our prayer life that can bust up the prayer life, okay? First one is this. There's three of these. Three prayer busters. First one is this. Worrying about how I sound. Worrying about how I sound. Worrying about how I come across. Worrying about saying the right things. Worrying about sounding holy. Worrying about, like, make sure I'm saying the right words and I'm doing it right. One of the biggest reasons, one, that we don't pray is because we're scared of doing it. Like, we're going to do it wrong. You know, I don't even know what to say, so therefore I don't pray. Or two, I pray, but I'm all crafting my words, and I'm like, and I'm all about the people around me and what they think of what I'm saying, rather than what God thinks about what I'm saying. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about this very thing. I included verse 5 in there, but I'm going to go to the passage and read the verses around it too. This is Jesus talking in the Sermon on the Mount when he's talking about prayer. This is what he says. This is Matthew 5, 5 through 8. No, 6, 5 through 8. Did I say 5? I think it's 6. Yeah, there it is, 6, 5 through 8. When you pray, not if you pray, notice that. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. The people are outside looking one way, inside doing something else. Don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. It's a show. Don't put on a show. Prayer is not a show. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Are you after when you pray sounding good so everyone thinks you're holy?
No.
If you are, great. They're going to think you're holy.
Yeah.
But that's it. They've received the reward in full. Nothing else is going to come out of that prayer except for they think you're holy. Great.
Yeah.
You got it. If that's what you're after, that's what you got. Verse, it continues on. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So it says pray as if you're in a closet like no one else is there. Now, I don't think that's saying, hey, we shouldn't have done what we did, you know, a few minutes ago praying for each other, me up front. I don't think it's talking about that. I think it's saying when you pray, you're not talking to all these people. You're talking to one person. You have an audience of one, and it's God. And so when you're praying, be like you're in your closet, right? There's no one else there. It's you and God. And let's see, verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So you don't got to be all long and over and, you know, and mixing in all these different things and trying to sound a certain way and asking them, you know, oh, Lord, we beseech thee to bless thy servant with thou consonants would lie upon us in this hour of need. No, you know, he's just talking to God. Why do we do that with him? We're just talking to him. So we get into trouble when we worry about how I sound. When I'm praying, you can usually tell who you're talking to by your word choice. You can tell if I'm really talking to the people around me in the circle or if I'm talking to God by how you're doing it. I think I mentioned this in the past, but I think two rules of thumb on this issue, don't worry about which and much when you're praying. Like, which words to say, it's not about that. God already knows what you need. You know, you don't got to choose the prayer. It's not word choice. So don't worry about which. And don't worry about much. I gotta make sure this is an important prayer. I gotta make sure this lasts at least, you know, so long. So if I'm just gonna keep repeating, I'm gonna do whatever. So you don't got to keep babbling. So it's not about which and much. So we got to forget about how I sound, because that has to do with the people around me. Who I'm most worried about is him. Prayer is talking to God. So that's what it is. So that's the first prayer buster here, is getting all worried about that, about how I sound and how I come across, all right? We don't want to fall into that, and it's such an easy thing because we're prideful people, and we want to look good, and we want to get credit for prayer. And getting credit, that's really in the eyes of the people around me. So don't fall for that one. Forget about how you sound. You're just talking to God, and other people happen to be there. All right, that's all it is. Okay, number two, second prayer buster. Ooh, this is a doozy. You guys ready? You like me? Because this is going to be a hard one. Here we go. Demanding what I want over what God wants. Demanding what I want over what God wants. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. We can approach him with confidence. Isn't that great? This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And then the next verse continues on. Anything that we ask, that when he hears us, we know we have what we ask. The thing we leave out is according to his will. We go to God with our list of what we want. And we expect God then to just, okay, master, whatever you ask for. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive, because, that's an important beginning of the sentence. You guys want to hear what comes next? When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. There's a problem when I place my will over God's will. When my prayer life is about me getting what I want rather than about God doing what he wants. Now, I'm not saying that you don't go to God and ask for what you want. It's okay. The Bible talks about being bold in approaching God and being bold in making a request to God. And so I think that's appropriate. I think we're supposed to take our prayer concerns to God. We're supposed to go to him with this. So it'd be disingenuous to just be like, oh, whatever you want, I'm just on board, you know, humble servant here. It's talking to God. So I think you can say, God, here's what I think I need. Here's what I see happening. Here's what I'd love to see happen. And to go boldly to God with your prayer request. I think that needs to stay that way. But here's what we need to add. We need to, in the midst of that, in the midst of going boldly to God, leave room in our expectations for God to go a different direction. Okay? So we can go boldly to him. But understanding he's the one in charge and he may have something different in mind. We would agree God is all-knowing. He's got it all figured out. We would agree that he loves us. He wants what's best for us. So with those two truths, isn't it possible that God may have a different plan, and dare I say, a better plan than your plan? And we want to go to God and say, do this thing. I claim it now. I demand you do this thing, because it seems like a great thing. Heal this thing. Work in this way. Give me that job. Pay that bill. Deliver me from this situation. But God may have a different plan. So we need to leave room within our expectations for that God may go in a different direction. Now, that is not undercutting our faith. Because some people, the Bible is very clear, faith is critical. That about asking God without faith, that it's like two-sided, you know, you won't get, all this stuff about faith, it's all about, faith is important. And so it may sound like that could undercut our faith. I'm going to pray for this thing, but God may not do it. So I guess, does that undercut my faith? Absolutely not, because our faith is in what God can do. We know, my faith is God can't do this thing. I know he can. There's nothing my God cannot do. And he can do this thing. My faith is firm in that. I get to claim and have faith and demand. I can know without a shadow of a doubt in faith what God can do. But I don't get to claim what God will do, because he gets to decide that. And as much as I may have the best idea, we know a lot about his will. We know what he's after. We know what things he values. We know those things. And it could be tempting to claim this. I claim this promise. But God's still in control, and he gets to decide. So we may even think we know what he's going to do, but still we need to leave him room to make that decision of what he's going to do. So when I say leave room in your expectations for that, I still have faith in what he can do, and I still go boldly to him. But he may want to go a different route. And what I mean by leaving room in the expectations is if he does go a different route, don't dare let that be a chisel into the rock of God's power and his love. Because you may, if you think that he didn't do, if you prayed something, you really wanted it and he didn't do it, you may think, well, God doesn't have power to do it. Or God doesn't love me enough. No. We get into a problem. We put our will above God's will. So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying you need, and it's not just tacking on that will be done, right? Because sometimes we don't believe that, or other times that's all we believe. We're not even really praying. I think we go to God boldly, but then leave room in our expectations for him to go a different direction. Does that sound fair? Is that reasonable? Okay. Sometimes God may just want something else for us. It's not that you didn't have enough faith, or not that, you know, what is something else. Sometimes he may have just wanted something else. He's God. He's in control. He gets to make that decision. I mean, can you picture the God of this universe, all-powerful God, sitting in heaven, having a plan, ready to do that plan, and then we step in front of him in faith and demand this thing? And God's like, doggone it. They're using my kryptonite. They're coming at me with faith. They're believing it so hard. Now I have to do that thing. I was never going to do that thing, and I have to, because that darn verse says I have to. And yet that's how we talk to God. We say, come on out, Gene. Come on out. We're rubbing that thing. Come on out. Prayer buster, demanding what I want over what God wants. Okay, go to God boldly. Go to him in faith in what he can do. But just leave a little room in your expectations if he goes another direction. Don't let that just undercut your faith going forward, that God may have a different plan than yours. Okay, thank you for being gracious and hearing that, you guys. Okay, third one. I thought second one was a hard one. I forgot about the third one. Ready? Prayer buster number three. Any unconfessed sin. Any unconfessed sin. James 5:16 says this. It's talking about prayer. And this is what it says. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Okay. So as he's talking about prayer in this passage, he says, he pauses his prayer talk. He says, confess your sins to each other. Why? Because the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. I think a lot of us say, prayer is powerful and effective. This says, prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Is it possible that our prayers are weak and ineffective because we've tolerated unconfessed sin in our life? The Bible makes a very clear connection all over the Bible, not just here, about prayer and obedience. There's a tie there. There's a relationship between those two things. Not just here. In John 15, Jesus is talking, he's teaching, and he teaches that if we remain in him and we obey his teachings and if we obey his commands, then he will give us anything we ask. So there's a remaining in there. There's a obey his commands, and then it says he will give us anything he asks. First Peter tells husbands, he lays out to husbands, here's how to love your wives. And then after that, he says, obey this teaching so that nothing hinders your prayers. So there's this correlation, but don't miss this, because if you do, it could hinder your prayers. 1 John 3:21-22 says this, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. So again, we see this correlation between obeying God's commands and our prayer life. And we know it's not saying that God rewards you, like you earned favor with God through our... I don't think that's what this is saying. That because you're you're obedient, then you've earned a favor and you've earned a reward, and this is your reward. So I don't think it's saying that necessarily. But it is saying that when I have unconfessed sin, it hurts my confidence before God. If I'm walking in knowing sin, I'm less likely to run to God in prayer. When I know I'm in the wrong, I know deep down I can't. That prevents me to running to God in prayer and trusting Him to work in these things because it's unconfessed sin in my life. I also don't think this is saying just sin in general, like all sin. Because if you sin, then all of a sudden you can't pray. There'll be a lot less prayer going on, right? I don't think it's talking about just sin, because we all have sin. We all have the struggle with sin. We all have that struggle. That's human nature. That's our human side, our flesh. We have that struggle. This is talking about when you've given up the struggle and you've tolerated sin. When sin, you've stopped the struggle and just say, that's sin. I'm just going to let that ride. Just let it go. And you have this area of sin in your life. That undercuts our prayer life. See, it doesn't work to just live any old way with me the boss, me in charge, me on the throne, living for me, and then just expect I can run to God and He'll do whatever I want. Which is how we do prayer, right? And we want to admit to it, but honestly, we look at our life, yeah, that is kind of what I do. I live for me all the time, I get myself into trouble, and I go in the trunk for the spare tire. Prayer. I mean, I need help on this one. Where's that? Oh, yeah, that's right, I pray. You guys, think about how we end every prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. We always say that. Do you know why we say that? Why do we do that? We say in Jesus' name at the end of every prayer. It comes from a passage. John, this is Jesus' teaching. John 14, 13 to 14, Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name. He says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. We're like, hot dog. So if I say in Jesus' name at the end, He's got to do it. In Jesus' name is not the stamp we put on the envelope to send up to God. It's not the send button on the text. In Jesus' name, send. In Jesus' name is talking about who I am. I'm asking in Jesus' name. As a follower of Jesus Christ, as Jesus is my Lord and Savior, as Jesus is the reason I can stand here with confidence because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm a disciple of His, I ask in Jesus' name. That's not how we treat it. We do sin button in Jesus' name. So what I'm getting at, unconfessed sin, when I'm living my life my way for me, and with all the consequences that come from that, that undercuts, it busts up my prayer life. Because I'm not walking with Christ. I'm not asking in Jesus' name if I say Jesus' name or not. I might as well say in Tom's name, amen. So we need, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, you got to deal with that. You got the perfect one to deal with it with, and that's Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, will forgive us our sins. He promises. He says, yeah, I'll do that. Confess them to me. This also talks about confessing to each other, which is a whole other thing we can get into. Unconfessed sin busts up our prayer life. And by anything that busts up our prayer life, hurts the end goal. That's knowing God. You don't know God well enough because your prayer life was busted up. You need to know God's love. You need to know His power. You're going to learn that through prayer. We got to do it. All right. Conclusion. Prayer life is vital to our knowing God because it's the point where my life intersects with God's life, where He becomes involved in my life. I know Him in a more personal way when I see Him work in my life. I grow in my knowledge of him. And when that happens, I learn specifically about God's power and about God's love. And this, in turn, increases my dependence on him all the more. When I see about his power and love, I depend on him all the more, and I pray more, and I learn even more about God, his power, and his love. And it starts this cycle, it starts this progress. And be wearing these things that could undercut it, these busters. Okay, so your homework. You know, you remember in class, sometimes the best times, the teacher would give homework, and they give you time in class to do it. You could actually do it in class. This is one of those. You guys get to do your homework in class. We're going to end today with a time of prayer. I'm going to facilitate it up front, but it's just you and God. There's no one else around you. And it's going to be time of silence. And I invite you to go sit before your Creator, your lover, your friend, your King, and spend some time in prayer. And it's going to be silent, and you may get a little antsy. That's okay. Some of you might be, you know, you're not ready for the marathon. This may be that first block, and you start breathing heavy. That's okay. We're going to spend a little time in prayer together. So with that, and I'll be directing you from up front about how to pray or things to pray. But this is something I want everyone to do as, just as, how can we talk about prayer and not pray, right? Wouldn't that be kind of, that'd be dumb. Okay, so with that, I invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And start by greeting God this morning, greeting him, acknowledging his presence. Praise God for his power. Recall to mind a time in your life when you saw his power on display. Thank him for it. Praise him for it. Now praise him for his love. Think how he's loved you. Through circumstances, through people in your life. Maybe it's a personal act that he's done for you. Think about his love. Praise him for it. Now ask him to sift over your life, to examine it, and to reveal to you any unconfessed sin, anything you've let linger and grow and develop that should not be there. Ask him to reveal to you unconfessed sin in your life. And now confess that thing to him. Repent of it before him and his power and his love. Now pray for that worry, that anxiety you've been carrying. The last thing you were thinking before you went to bed last night. Take that. Release it and cast it on him in prayer. Now pray for a loved one who you know is far from God and needs to know him better. Pray for that person in love.